Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This week we're talking about Heathers.
Hit the music.
My name is Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty. This is Flaherty's on Films, a little podcast we have where we talk about films.
The best films.
The best films. Fan favorite AFI films.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not AFI. Don't worry about it too much. Anyway, this week we're talking about Heathers. Michael, what is it about?
I'll read a description here. In order to get out of the snobby clique that is destroying her good girl reputation... an intelligent teen teams up with a dark sociopath in a plot to kill the cool kids.
Now, I don't want to slam IMDb. They do a lot of good work, but that's a terrible, terrible summation. That's not even right.
So what would yours be?
Oh, fuck.
It's hard. It's a hard film. That's my
point. Okay. In this dark comedy, would you call it a...
Dark comedy, sure.
Yeah.
Black humor.
Yeah. In this dark comedy... Winona Ryder's inexplicably tied to this clique, right?
For no reason.
Right.
It's Colleen, what are your first impressions of the film?
Oh, sorry. First impressions. What a film. So I think it's funny. This was nominated by Matt Egger, a friend of mine, who said, he's like, I don't think it really should be on the AFI, but I just love it. And I love people recommending these films because I would never see it otherwise. And what a weird... Just something I'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it.
So it's weird and you like it.
Yeah.
It is. It's got flaws. You know, we can't give it
to be sure.
We were lucky enough to watch it with somebody who was very enthusiastic about the film, our Aunt Angela, which was super fun.
So fun.
But it's an acquired taste. You know, it's a lot of, I mean, besides that, it's kids shooting themselves in school.
Not great.
Not great. But, it's a weird film. And I just like the surprise of it.
Yes, me
so
too.
So that part's fun. Are there good characters? Maybe not. Mm. Is there a good plot? Maybe not. Are there any themes? Maybe not. Does it shock you? Certainly.
For sure.
So those are my impressions.
Let me read you what my friend Matt said about the film.
Oh, we're doing that.
And I asked him, what do you think about this film? He said, intense. I love that movie because they played it every 15 minutes on Comedy Central when I was a kid and watched it when I was way too young.
Probably cheap to license you.
I still try to watch it annually, but its themes are a bit disturbing to say the least in the era of school shootings. But that said, I love the dark tone of this film. Slater is brilliant in his creepy, sleazy performance. Winona kills it, as do Shannon Doherty and the other Heathers.
Kills.
They made a musical out of it. I love my dead gay son. It'd be tough to pick it for an actual AFI spot, given the themes. I mean, it's not as wholesome as the attempted incest I was able to overlook in Back to the Future. But for a movie to watch, this one's a winner.
Here's what's really a winner. Our first segment, bam.
Time for Sam. This is the part of the show where Sam comes on and tells us some awesome facts about the movie.
Okay, in the 1980s, Daniel Waters moved to Los Angeles and was working in, as he called it, the least cool video store. While working there and seeing all the movies that were kind of circulating through, he started work on his own screenplay that would turn into Heathers.
So this was his first big thing.
Right. And he named it Heathers because he basically said, that's the name for that girl. The other name he had was like...
That girl as in that girl, like that kind
girl,
of girl.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
The other name he had was like Stacy or something, and he's like, Heathers had a better term.
Yeah,
like,
that's good.
Yeah.
So. Remember in the cartoon Recess where they had the Ashleys? That must have been an homage,
like
right?
That. Yeah, it's good.
I think like the first line he wrote for this script was the one right when they're trying to stage the suicide, and it's like, you know, not that knife, it's too dirty. That wouldn't work, kind of
right.
a thing. So,
ugh.
When he finished his first draft of Heathers, it was 200 pages long, which would pretty much come to about a 3-hour long film. The body count was a lot higher, too. He originally wanted Stanley Kubrick to direct it because he was the... Hold on.
What?
He wanted Stanley Kubrick not because of what Stanley Kubrick had made, but because he was the only one who could get away with a 3-hour movie.
Sure. Okay.
That's interesting.
Kubrick was not interested.
Okay. So you got it on record.
Well, it has too many ladies in it. He doesn't like that.
But they were able to find a director and a studio, and they had to change the ending of the film to get the studio approval. But once they did that, they got the studio approval. And I will get to the ending in a bit here. Winona Ryder heard about this and wanted the film. She got the script before it was really released to anyone. And as she said later on, my agent at the time literally got her on her knees and begged me not to do the movie. She had her hands together and she goes, "You will never work again. We parted ways later." Mm. She was so excited to do this film. She called the casting director and said, I called Michael Lehman and I was like, "You don't have to pay me. I just want to say these lines." She heard a rumor that they said she's not pretty enough to play Veronica. So she went to her local Macy's, tied back to Miracle on 34th Street, and had them do a makeover on her. And then she like went back to like prove like I can be beautiful. She was 15 at the time. It's pretty horrible. They also had a lot of different opinions on what they wanted to do for the role of JD. Brad Pitt was deemed not murdery enough.
I see it. I see it.
So they went with Christian Slater.
He's more murdery for sure.
Definitely.
I'm sure you two will have a lot of opinions about this next fact, but he did base his performance on Jack Nicholson.
Did he really? Oh, yeah. New information.
That's a fun little joke because we were told that fact before we watched the film. And once you know that, it is very distracting.
That's all you can
because
see.
Because it is a very hammy Jack Nicholson, right? Like,
I kind of thought Christian Slater kind of talked like that.
I think he kind of does, but he would just like ratchet
maybe
it up
stuck.
A bit, you know? Maybe he just forgot how to speak normally. Yeah.
Apparently, he actually talked to Nicholson on the phone one time, and he was trying to explain the movie and explain what he wanted to do with the character, and Nicholson was just, like, either confused or, like, this guy's really creepy, and so Slater just, like, panicked and hung up the phone. He's like, "I hung up on Jack Nicholson." Like,
huh. That's fun.
So, Heathers was given a $3 million budget, and they started filming. They would only film four. Well, that's your question of the week.
Ooh.
How many days did they film this movie?
All right, I'll go first because you wrote it down. I'll say 10 days.
40 days.
33.
Yes.
Oh, you got it.
We are not keeping track of this at all.
No.
But we're recording it.
There is evidence.
Sure.
It was filmed in a high school. So like the scenes that took place in bedrooms were actually just sets that were put into the auditorium and the gym. Oh,
like Home Alone.
Good sets. Much.
So originally, so they have, Shannon Doherty playing one of the Heathers in the show. So Shannon has kind of an interesting Hollywood history. Would you like to give some background on your
Beverly
Hills?
Oh, just like, so she has a reputation of being like a total bitch, really hard to work with. And they always played up in the tabloids and she was kicked off 90210 because she didn't get along with any of the cast members. And, you know, some people say maybe it was a little overblown, her difficulty, because she was a young woman in Hollywood. And, you know, there's a fiery debate as to whether she was treated poorly or whether she was really that horrible to work with.
She was also kicked off of Charmed.
Right. So maybe she is pretty bad to work with. Maybe two things are true. Maybe she's would treat worse than a guy in her position, but also was horrible to work with. That's probably...
apparently she was really, really sheltered. She was 17 and she was just very conservative in her upbringing. And so she had some difficulty with some of the language. So the line in the movie, "Gently fuck me with a chainsaw."
It was really fun hearing Sam say that.
Was supposed to be said by Shannon, but she couldn't do it. She like refused. They had to give it to someone else. And then she also, you can tell this when the line, "Veronica, why are you pulling my dick?" She kind of gets like really awkward expression on her face. That was like the most uncomfortable line. Sorry, are you laughing at me saying that one too?
Nope. Go on.
Okay. So she was very uncomfortable with that line too. Apparently, Shannon Doherty didn't really seem to understand what the movie was about while filming.
I don't know if I would really understand what the movie was
about.
I've
seen it, and I really don't understand what it's
about. So she thought it was like this drama, And the director was like, well, I'm not going to explain it to her because this is kind of works on what her character is. So
just taking it 100% seriously.
Yeah. Like, this is about a really tragic guy who comes to this school. And so they filmed her like that. And then when she saw it, apparently she was very disappointed that it was a dark comedy.
Sure.
But yeah. Okay, so a couple other facts about Shannon Doherty's character. She's carrying a book throughout that has meaningful passages in it, and it's Moby Dick. Apparently, they really wanted to catch her on the rye, which makes more sense. However, they couldn't get permission from J.D. Salinger, but Herman Melville's works are all public domain, so they just switched that over to Moby Dick. There's a spoof song by the fictional band Big Fun in the movie. It's called Teenage Suicide.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's a spoof on a song called Don't Try Suicide, which Queen released in 1980.
Really? Oh. That's a real song.
Huh. It, well, it's a spoof on, but yeah. Also, another just fun little fact about that. JD tricks Veronica into killing the jocks by claiming that they are going to be using Uklung bullets. Apologies to our German listeners. Which he says only pierces the skin. Uklung in German means I'm lying.
Oh, fun.
So
fun.
When the movie was released, it made $1.1 million in the box office, which is obviously less than it cost to make it. They don't consider it a flop because the amount is so little. Like, it was only a $3 million movie. It's not significant for the, but still a disappointment. However, kind of like your coworker mentioned, the film was just put on TV over and over and over again and became a cult classic that way because people would see it and learned. So it's become a cult classic afterwards, and it's been called the remedy for the John Hughes movies.
Which I remember when we were watching with Angela, and she said something like that, and Michael was like, good, because I hate John Hughes, which I thought was interesting.
That I hate John Hughes?
Yeah.
I thought about it. Maybe I've never seen a John Hughes film.
I've seen Home Alone.
Seen Home Alone. That's fine. But like, I just feel like I don't like the idea of Breakfast Club. I don't know if I've ever seen
it. I've seen Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink.
And there's a lot of those. That's the one where they hold the underwear in the bathroom.
That's Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. It's don't think about it too hard.
Yeah.
Oh, 16 Candles. That one's also really problematic and racist.
Yeah, they just all sound terrible.
Probably.
So this sounds better than those films.
So I will just give you guys, as you're about to go through the plot, what the original ending was supposed to be that the studio refused to have made. So the original ending was that JD shoots himself. And then Veronica puts the bomb on herself and blows herself and the school up. She goes bang and then blows up the school. Then we fade into heaven. Which has a prom going on, because if you remember, JD says at one point that the only place people can get along is heaven. Oh, it's gonna get better. So they're at prom, and like all of the jocks are dancing with the nerd, and like all like together. One of the jocks that was murdered is getting his photo, like a prom picture, taken with a tipped over cow. And the person singing the music is dump truck, whatever.
Oh yeah, Martha.
So, and then it was just supposed to kind of zoom in and then fade out.
That sounds so bad.
So that was the original ending that was deemed too dark and the studio would not allow it.
I don't even think that's the problem. I think it's just dumb.
And my final fact for you guys today, which is my favorite fact, it's the most fun fact. Are you ready?
Yes.
Go for it.
Daniel Waters in an interview said, I did come up with this crazy cockamamie Heathers 2 plot. Ready?
Yeah.
Where Veronica becomes a page for a senator named Heather, played by Meryl Streep.
Okay.
The ending is her assassinating the president and getting away with it.
That sounds fun.
Apparently, Winona Ryder, who's obsessed with this movie, she's like, I've seen Heathers 50 times. It's her favorite movie. She doesn't even care that she's in it. She's so obsessed with making reboot that she actually went to Meryl Streep and was like telling her about this, and she's like, Meryl seemed really into it or was being really nice.
Probably, right?
That's fun. That was Bam.
Time for Sam. I have a weird fact that's probably not fun.
What's
but Daniel
it?
Waters is the older brother of Mark Waters, who directed Mean Girls.
Oh.
And the thing about Heathers is somebody told me, it's like, oh, it's kind of like Mean Girls, but the 80s. And it's like, nah.
Nope.
Oh, Michael, I have some bad, good news, bad news.
Oh,
can please. I give it to you?
Yeah, please.
Here's the bad news. Fan favorite Bro Call, it's not happening this week.
Fuck, but I love Bro Call.
But I have some good news.
What's
you want to hear
news?
It?
Yeah.
In our studio right now is our brother, John Flaherty.
Oh, I should have been cognizant to that.
Oh, yeah, because I'm sitting right across
from you. Oh, my God, John.
Oh, John.
Welcome.
Hi. We're talking about his favorite film, Heathers.
Yes. Fantastic.
Before we move on, we should probably get your first impressions of the film.
Why don't we just go straight into favorite part, least favorite part? Or
Critics Corner.
Yeah, we have to
do
Critics Corner.
Right. Okay. Then I think my opinion will be clear. I think it's already been clear through your introduction of me.
Mm-hmm.
But, fuck this movie.
Wow.
All right, that's strong.
Sorry, Angela, but you're wrong.
Angela. Why don't we start with Critics Corner, where we hear from the best of the best, just to a discerning folk, what they think about the film. I will start with Todd McCarthy from Variety, a super smart black comedy about high school politics and teenage suicide that showcases a host of promising young talents.
Yeah, read the next one, John.
Okay, I have a feeling I'm going to disagree with all these professional critics.
Well, maybe the next Amazon review.
Didn't age well. I don't know why, but watching this again just wasn't the same dark humor as it was when I first saw it. Maybe too many actual school shootings have happened in the time since.
Maybe.
That is not wrong. Slater's character doesn't seem edgy as much as he seems sadly in need of help, and my kids thought Ryder's character just acted stupid. Jay Lowry, Amazon reviewer.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's not crazy.
What's the difference? Yeah, between edgy
me and me and him are going to agree a lot.
All right.
You want me to go? Okay. This is from Mike LaSalle from San Francisco Chronicle. 2 decades later, Heathers is so on the money with its vague but unmistakable parallels to several school shootings that it could never be made today.
I mean, sure.
So it's just too. It's just
so many.
It's just too truthful is the problem.
Right. This was billed as a comedy. Perhaps my idea of comedy is outdated, as it doesn't find murdering funny. Not a good movie. Would give it a -5 if possible, says Aspen Girl, Amazon reviewer. John, what does Dennis Schwartz have to say?
A pointless satire on a high school co-eds acting bitchy and hanging out in cliques.
Which I think is like, is it?
He might have watched the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, what is this movie about?
It was just opening credits. That's not a movie.
Yeah, right?
Who am I?
The very last
one.
Sally.
The last
one. Oh, no. So this is where blowing up schools became an idea. Lame.
Would you call blowing up schools lame? That's a weird...
No, the idea
a bit
is lame.
That's where it became
an understatement.
Idea. Oh,
well,
oh.
But he's not wrong.
Oh.
It's kind of lame.
Clean, what's your least favorite part?
I think I did say my least favorite part, other than some of it was did kind of seem a bit dated, Christian Slater's Jack Nicholson performance was so distracting.
Veronica knew you'd have a hangover, so I whipped this up for you. It's a family recipe.
I couldn't quite get past it. It was so hammy and a little, like, because I think he was supposed to be kind of cool and edgy and hot for the time. And I like Christian Slater, so I feel bad bagging on him. But
you said Angela told you that fact. The very first scene in the cafeteria when he opens his mouth for the first time, I immediately said, why is he doing a Jack Nicholson bit?
It's
really obvious.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Jack Nicholson. It sounds like, you know, Robin Williams is the genie doing Jack Nicholson.
All right, Sparky, here's the deal. If you want to court the little lady, you gotta be a straight shooter. Do you got it?
He's like just trying to, he's clearly trying to do a bad impersonation from the very beginning.
John, what's your least favorite part of Heathers?
Yeah, right. Well, my favorite part is definitely the Que Sera Sera at the very beginning.
Just because it's a nice song.
Because I like that song, and I immediately thought to myself, oh, this is going to be a fun movie. Yeah. I'm really into this. Then it all went downhill from there.
I didn't know you're such a big Doris Day fan.
I like that song. Okay. I do like it a lot.
I just cleared your notifications accidentally.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
I don't know what to pick for my least favorite part. It might be the... homophobia, might be the fat shaming, might be the entire
Well, the bad
approach.
People were fat shaming. The bad people were the homophobic people.
Yeah, the good people
also
were.
Known as Winona Ryder, too.
Does she?
I think my least favorite thing is the fact that this movie has no theme, or the theme is that high schoolers are just the worst. I think that might be my least favorite part. And my middle is I wanted to compliment Winona Ryder because I really like Winona Ryder, and I thought she did a good job, but then I learned she was 15 when filming this, and then I got really
so you can't compliment her looks. That'd be weird.
I can't compliment her looks, or I mean, she meets Christian Slater and sleeps with him immediately.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
She's 15, for the love of Christ.
Well, that's high schoolers. They do that. They sleep with Christian Slater.
I have a new least favorite part of this podcast right there.
What? Do you know Johnny Depp got a tattoo that said Winona Forever when they were dating?
I get that.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, I'm
pro Winona.
So my least favorite part is I feel like this movie, it's not really anything. It's not really about anything besides like a guy wants to make the edgiest movie. So it's like teenage angst, the movie.
But I like that it's silly. So I feel like it kind of takes the
edge. It's not even that bad of an insult, but it's like that is all it is.
Sure.
So it's pretty shallow, I think. And
what's your favorite part?
It's like that's my favorite part and my least favorite part, because like it's like, what the fuck? He's got a gun in the first scene that he's like shooting. It's like, what the hell is even happening?
I love how surprised.
So it's like
I was.
It is a dumb movie, but it's like, what am I watching?
I liked it. I don't know. I just really enjoyed the experience of watching it, and I also really like the dialogue. It's so bizarre, but still really watchable. You know, it's not like.
Do you have any good examples of?
Oh, just like the
yeah. What's
weird...
your favorite of his bizarre part?
God.
Heather's while you're looking that up, quotes. I do like to think that Tina Fey was watching this. I'm like, I'm going to do like a prequel to Heather's, except make it good and make it less weird.
It's not, I don't think and it's that's really mean like Mean Girls. Because Mean Girls, I felt like, had things to say.
Well, the central premise of the beginning of the movie was Mean Girls.
Yeah.
And then it just went somewhere way the hell over there.
Somewhere else.
Real life sucks losers dry. If you want to fuck with the Eagles, you have to learn to fly.
Just a lot of bizarre like one liners like that, and I don't know, it was fun.
It is fun.
I don't know.
It is silly. You're saying so it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yes. So you watch a lot of films that like really go for something that you haven't seen before, and most of the time it's either too pretentious or totally unwatchable. And I didn't think it was either of those things, so that's why I liked it.
I think I disagree on both counts.
That it was pretentious?
I think it was pretentious. Oh, okay. I think it was trying to take itself seriously, and it was unwatchable as a result.
Oh, I didn't find that at all. Okay. We can disagree.
That's fair.
Now we'll go to our intern summary, where we read through the plot. I will start. 17-year-old Veronica Sawyer, played by Winona Ryder, is one of the most popular girls at Westburg High School in Sherwood, Ohio. In addition to Veronica, the popular clique consists of three wealthy and beautiful girls with the same first name. The leader, Heather Chandler Walker, the bookish bulimic Heather Duke, and the weak-willed cheerleader Heather McMahon.
Remember when she goes like bulimia is so early 80s or something? That was weird.
Johnny,
doesn't it always feel like in modern movies, like the ladies are always being played by someone older than the age they purport? Isn't it a little weird to have a 15-year-old playing as a 17-year-old?
It is weird.
That's different.
I also thought it was weird because learning that she was 15 was because she looks like she's in her 20s. Like,
yeah, right?
They all look older, I thought. I also just thought it was weird. So the whole premise, right, is Winona feels kind of trapped in this popular clique.
The beginning premise.
But why?
Yeah, she seems like she trapped herself.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of get it. Like, high school seems so important, and the people you hang out with or sit with at lunch is so life or death in a way that feels weird and heightened. Sure. But she just is like, oh, I'm so much smarter than other people. I don't know why I hang out with these awful people who I hate.
She's like, then don't.
Right.
I would like to say also, I watched the trailer for this movie before watching the movie. And so there's the dream sequences through the movie, like with Winona being hit in the head by a croquet ball,
right,
and like the 3D glasses bit. And like, so the trailer makes it seem like a really goofball, weird comedy when those are the only weird goofball parts, and they mean something different
that
in the movie.
That does seem like a misleading trailer.
It was super
you know
misleading.
What? Now that I think about it, I don't know if I laughed a lot during this movie.
No, I did not at all.
I can't
all.
Think of a funny moment.
I think I laughed a lot during the just bizarre parts.
But like, what's a part that made you laugh?
Just the weird dialogue made me laugh.
Like the I'm lying bullet, which I was wondering why it's ick something, because that means I'm something. And I'm like, that could be funny if it wasn't so weird and uncomfortable.
Sure.
So
and that's just how I mean, felt through the whole movie.
My enjoyment did not come from comedy, is
okay.
What I'm saying.
That's fine.
Okay. Though they are the most popular students, the Heathers are feared and hated. Veronica has had enough of their behavior and longs to return to her old life, which she could just do, and her nerdy friends.
And they like to play croquet, which I think is cool and classy.
And they're cute because they wear color-coded outfits.
Yes.
That is true. I kind of want to play croquet.
Oh, another part that made me laugh is the bits she does with her parents, I think, were cute.
Oh, that was actually good. That was really good. I like the parent bit.
Yeah, can you like explain what the parent bit is?
Just how they would have really kind of benign dialogue, but it was always the same.
Right.
It was like it was rehearsed.
Why do I read these papers? Because you're an idiot.
Of course, that's it.
And yeah. Then they just, like, what did that add to the movie,
Nothing.
It just kind of tonally threw it off again.
I thought it was...
This movie has no idea what
If I was an edgy high schooler, that's a scene I'd write for sure.
All right, I'll go... or John, you want to read that?
Sure, I'll do the easy bit. Oh, no, that's the hard bit. When a new student, a rebellious outsider named Jason J.D. Dean Slater, after he's awkwardly like staring across the cafeteria at Winona, which...
By the way, if I watched this movie for the first time when I was like 13, I would have been so into Christian Slater with the floppy hair and the intense stare.
I was about to say, one thing that I totally get in this movie is him doing the stare across the cafeteria and Winona being totally into it. Because I get it from both ways.
Hey, Veronica.
I mean,
I was just going to applaud us for none of us doing his Jack Nicholson impression. Veronica.
Can't even say I did it well. I just said Veronica in a weird way.
Yeah, I was into that relation from the start until, of course.
John, are you going to leave us hanging? Are you not going to do
one? He then, what?
Are you not going to do an impression?
No, I'm not even going to try.
Okay.
Hey, Veronica.
Yeah. That might have been the best one.
I know.
Pulls a gun on the school bullies, Kurt and Ram, and fires blanks at them. Were they actually blanks? I thought he just kind of
missed. They were blanks. They said that in a line of dialogue. By the way, Ram and Kurt are great bully names.
Yes, absolutely. But I just want to restate this. He pulls a gun on two kids yelling at him and shoots at them in school.
Yeah. And gets suspended for a day?
No, he got suspended for a week.
Oh, okay.
What are Malfoy's cronies' names?
Rabbit Boy.
Crab and Goyle, like the similar.
Yeah.
They're like born like you're a crony. Sorry.
But this is like the opening sequence of this fun, dark,
which
goofball
I
comedy.
Was like really into because I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Which
I'm
is
thinking
fun.
I'm watching a Mean Girls thing and I'm watching like a romance start that's going to be weird. And he pulls a gun.
We should probably clarify that we all really like Mean Girls.
Yeah. Mean Girls is great.
I am a gigantic Mean Girls fan. Yeah, it's one of the only movies I saw in theaters 3 times, and I am free to mention. I will mention that to everybody.
We should watch Mean Girls.
We absolutely should.
It deserves an amazing movie. It's been on the list for sure.
Okay, anyway.
All right. Mean Girls aside, I'm not going to bring that up anymore. That's a lie. Veronica finds herself fascinated by him, which makes sense.
Duh.
When Veronica then subsequently attends a frat party with Heather Chandler, but refuses to have sex with some random guys, she then throws up. Heather subsequently vows to destroy her reputation. JD shows up at Veronica's house randomly. Like, literally, they've had one conversation.
She is not alarmed that he's trying to break into her room. But
he's never alarmed. You've had one conversation with him, and then he immediately pulled a gun and shot it in school.
This is how a 15-year-old girl would act with someone that dreamy, though. That is realistic.
Yeah, I get that. All right. JD shows up at Veronica's house, and they end up immediately having sex outside. After which, Veronica tells JD she wants to make Heather puke her guts out. Veronica tells JD... Oh, wait. That Veronica wants to get Heather to puke her guts out in revenge.
Obviously.
Yeah. You want me to do the whole paragraph?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's more.
Yeah. I told you this is the hard bit. The next morning, Veronica and JD break into Heather's house. Again, this is now the third like interaction they've had together. They've seen a gun shooting, had sex, and now breaking into a house.
Yes.
Veronica and JD break into Heather's house. JD serves Heather a liquid he claims is a hangover cure, but is actually Drano.
Which kills
Veronica is aware of this, laughs, and says, no, don't do that. Makes a proper drink, and then they get him accidentally, air quotes, mixed up. JD, and they accidentally serve her.
Okay, I mean, JD purposely kills her. Veronica thinks she is giving her the throw-up stuff.
That's right.
Sorry.
And then immediately after they kill her in, like, the third scene, JD urges Veronica to forge a dramatic suicide note in Heather's handwriting.
Which was such, like... This was a weird plot device where in the beginning they're like, wow, Veronica, you're really good at forging people's handwriting.
Yeah, that was like, the only fact.
Okay, I guess that's going to come up later. Okay. Oh, and the other fact is after they have sex, she's like, yeah, I'm just like really smart. Like I have a super high IQ. My parents were going to like let me go to college, but I decided to be normal. And it's like, did that come up that she was super smart?
You know what else didn't really come up a lot? That they're all named Heather.
I feel like that's... Right? That had no relevance.
I feel like, come on. We went to school in the 90s. This would just be a thing that would happen. There was a popular clique in my school that had, you know, like two Amandas and a few Jennifers. Like, that's a thing.
And they hung out?
The Ashleys from Recess.
That Ashley
those are, so those are fictional characters.
I think the point is this movie puts a lot of fish in the water and then never... That my metaphor failed. It starts a lot of plot.
Fish in the water.
I suck at metaphors, man. Let me have this.
They just put all this fish in the water.
There's the opening
scene.
Never
goes fishing.
Where they're like, "Oh, your turn, Heather. Thanks, Heather." And it's like, and then that's the sort of the end of the bit.
They do that bit in Recess all the time.
Well, see, then that's a point that it's called. They're all called Ashley then.
Because then remember when they we find out that
Spinelli's real name is Ashley.
Yeah.
Sam, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think anyone's gonna hear you.
Spinelli is the spunky like. Rough going one, but her real name is Ashley. So then there was one episode where she joins the Ashleys, but it doesn't work out. Anyway, the school and community look on Heather's apparent suicide as a tragic decision made by a popular but troubled teenager. Heather Duke soon steps into Heather Chandler's former role as clique leader and begins wearing a red scrunchie that had belonged to Chandler.
Several days later, Kurt and Ram, who are the cronies, spread a rumor about Veronica giving them oral sex, ruining her reputation. JD proposes that... Yes, John.
Well, we skipped the scene where why they're spreading bad reputation about Veronica.
Why?
Is because Veronica was talked into going to double date with Ram and... What's the other name?
Kurt.
Kurt with the other Heather. And then they get drunk, cow tipping. They're like, now we're going to have sex right now. And Veronica runs away.
Oh, yeah. Because then we got into a big fight about how you can't actually cow tip. Guys at home, if you get drunk, you're like, let's go cow. Can't do it. Cows are really big and they have a fantastic center of gravity. You will not be able to knock over a cow.
But also, what's the end game? Like, wait, once it's tipped over.
Like, you did it.
Okay, I think you globbed onto the wrong bit of what I'm saying here.
No, I think I'm exactly right.
And literally, we see as the viewers, like, Heather being raped in the background.
Not
as...
raped.
Oh, that it was
seemed
bad.
Rapey.
It was bad.
Actually, that was Winona Ryder's favorite scene because she was like, it was so dark because in the background there is a date rape going on. And it's kind of like we're brushing over it to look at this other drama.
Oh.
Yeah, you're forgetting the fact that she's fighting back there in the background.
I don't like that.
No, this movie is horrible.
Yeah, it's not good.
I missed that.
And so, yeah, he gets drunk. It's like, we're going to fuck right now. And she's like, and she runs away. He passes out. And then the next morning, she's like, well, you both gave me you gave both of us blowjobs.
Oh.
Yes. Welcome to my hell.
I think the '80s might have been gross. Just yes. based on the John Hughes good, like nicer movies,
can
those
I,
are horrifying.
Can I do a counterpoint?
Yeah.
You spin me right round, baby, right round, like a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, good point, Michael.
So, 80s was a good, I don't know.
I mean, it's fine that day rape was whatever.
Yeah, but do I have to do the song again?
Could you?
No, you've heard it. Okay, hold on. Your phone, just a second. Where was I?
So yeah, we're 30 minutes in the movie. Winona Ryder has already had sex with the person she met that same day and been told she has to have sex right now with guys twice.
JD proposes that Veronica lure them into woods and promise to make the rumors true, then shoot them with non-fatal German bullets. JD shoots Ram, but Veronica misses Kurt, who runs away. Veronica realizes that the bullets are real. JD chases Kurt back towards Veronica, who panics and shoots him. JD plants gay materials besides the boys and a suicide gnome, saying that the two lovers were participating in a suicide pact.
What are the gay materials? I feel like this would have been funnier in the 80s, where one of it was mineral water, and the cops like find the mineral water.
Yeah,
like,
I actually don't like the gay jokes in this movie too
They're much. They're not... great. But okay, right. So remember, even Veronica is exceptionally smart and bought the story about non-fatal bullets that just make you bleed a lot but don't kill you.
They just like make you fall over and sleep.
Fun fact, people who go around advertising, I'm really smart,
are not smart.
Thank you, Mickey.
Anybody in an internet argument who says what their IQ points are, it's like, no, just walk away, guys.
At their funeral, the boys are made into martyrs against homophobia, although she keeps dating JD. So this is bad judgment.
Right.
No, it's official bad judgment.
That has been made very clear.
It's double bad judgment. Dating JD, Veronica is alarmed by his behavior, but
not
alarmed enough to stop.
There's a scene where she like accidentally burns her hand and then he uses her burned hand to light his cigarette. It's very weird.
So
and
it's not hidden that he's a sociopath.
That was also the first 30
And she's
minutes.
Like, I don't know, JD. This is... I don't think you should kill people, maybe. But
okay,
you're pretty
else,
hot.
Someone else go.
Martha Dunstock, an obese, regularly bullied student known as Martha Dumptruck, pins a suicide note to her chest and walks into traffic. She survives, but is badly injured and is mocked for trying to act popular. Heather McNara calls a popular radio show one night while Veronica and Heather Duke are listening and talks of depression in her life, which was, that was bizarre. Because then
that was bizarre.
Well, yeah, because
that one moment.
And then the other Heather is like, oh, we are going to nail her. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Do teenagers have no empathy? And I'm like, nah, they don't.
No.
Because again, even in the John Hughes movies, all like high school students are just horrible bullies who don't let anyone get away with anything. And date rape is fine. Anyway, McNair's attempts to take her life by overdosing on pills in the girls' bathroom. Or she tries to, but she's saved by Veronica.
Nice. We got four paragraphs left. Go ahead, John.
Where are we at? Veronica tells JD that she will not participate in any more killings.
How nice of her.
Really bold call there, Veronica. Yeah. He climbs into her room with a revolver to kill her. But Veronica has used a harness to make it look like she hangs herself. That's kind of gross.
It's kind of traumatizing.
That was, but I don't know. I actually kind of liked that scene. Even though I did complain about Christian Slater's performance, he just comes to say like, oh man, I know I came in here to kill you, but I love you, man. I love you.
And to be clear,
why did you do this? I mean, I was going to do it for you.
His performance is good to laugh at.
Oh yeah.
This hanging came after like a 5 to 10 minute dream sequence.
Oh yeah, that was...
Yeah, where we don't even need to talk about that. Just think about the worst it could be, and you're pretty much nailing it. Right. Thinking her dead, he rambles about his plan to blow up the school during a pep rally. A petition he's been circulating via Heather Duke, which was a part of the movie I liked where he used the Heather Duke to, like, conspire.
Sure.
That was nice. I never really came to anything, but...
Nah.
To get the band Big Fun to perform on campus was actually a mass suicide note. Most of the students had already signed, so the mass murder would appear to be a mass suicide instead.
And the song is Teenage Suicide, Don't Do It.
That's fun. That's good. That's a good message. Veronica confronts JD in the boiler room below the gym during a school prep rally where he rigged timed explosive. She shoots him when he refuses to stop the bomb. As JD collapses, he stabs the timer and it stops. Veronica walks out through the pep rally with everyone cheering. The severely injured JD follows her outside with a bomb strapped to his chest, offers what amounts to a personal eulogy as Veronica looks on and detonates the bomb.
Go
now,
ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the ending, again, I just had no idea where it was going, and it was well-paced. Like, I wasn't bored. I was into it. But
one thing we did skip over in the plot is the movie does to attempt to ground JD and his craziness.
With his dad?
Oh. With his dad and his mom, because his mom committed suicide by being in a building. That
or
his
dad killed her.
Yeah.
We're not sure about that.
It was kind of sloppily done and a little bit rushed, and there was other stuff going on while they were presenting that. The movie tried.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of into, but then I was already lost by this movie at that point.
Fair enough. Veronica confronts Heather Duke, takes the red scrunchie, says, Heather, my love, there's a new sheriff in town, and invites Martha Dunstock to hang out on prom night and watch movies. And that's Heather's.
That's Heather's. So.
So it ended like Mean Girls 2.
So, John, what would you grade the film?
Let's see here. I'm thinking about arguments to not give it an F. So I'm going to let you guys convince me here.
Okay. Was not bored, thought it was goofy, thought it was interesting, and pretty well acted for the most part. I just like that I got to watch this movie, and I don't feel that way with a lot of movies that we have to watch. So
fair point for third of that. I wasn't bored. That is true. I hated it, but I wasn't bored.
I didn't hate it. And I happen to have an even more fun time because we got to watch it with Angela, who made us blue drinks.
Poison drinks, yeah.
Yeah. And corn nuts, which are really good. I haven't had those. Anyway, so I'm going to give it a C+.
I will give it a C-. I am actually kind of offended that it is a comedy, and it really did not make me laugh. It's a really bad quality. But you're right. I mean, I did enjoy the shock value of it. And
I've pondered the question. I'm going to give it a D.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very fair. John, who are we sponsored by this week?
Mean Girls, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's so weird that a movie.
the musical.
Ooh. It's not that great.
Oh, it's not? Damn it.
It's our sponsor!
I mean, it's the best musical ever.
Talking to me.
Take your kids to see it.
Who's the lead actor in the musical?
Yeah. You apparently have
facts. Well, I'm sure there's many companies, so there's many.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they're going to do a traveling show shortly, so,
so
I can't
everywhere,
tell you.
Wherever you are, there it's performing.
Yeah.
Mean That's Girls not how traveling shows work.
Thank you for watching listening to Flitterian Films this week. What are we doing next week?
Let's see. Oh, it looks like we're going to do Dirty Dancing.
That's a surprise.
What a surprise.
Oh, my God. John, hopefully you're here next week.
Hopefully. John, I know you need to fly home to Washington, D.C., where you're very important. Stay an extra week. Hang out with us so we can do Dirty Dancing. Please.
Okay, I guess I'll go.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That'll be at a later time than now. And cut.